We also want to make sure that everyone's aware that we have a newcomers luncheon tonight. I say luncheon, well, it is a lunch. Reception. 7 o'clock. So if you're newer to the church, or you've been coming for a while but you haven't attended a newcomers reception, we invite you to come tonight, 7 o'clock, at our home, and sign up for it. Not too late to come. Just be there with us, get better acquainted, meet some of the folks from the church, and we'll answer all the questions we can. So that's tonight at 7 o'clock. Hope that you can come and be there with us. All right. Doing it God's way. That's our theme this year. And the last few weeks we've been talking about the family God's way. We started with saying, what would God say to husbands? How would husbands act if they were doing it God's way? How would wives act? How would parents act? And today, our final message in this series is, what would God say to children? All right. Now, this is a difficult one because the children have been dismissed. There are still some children I see in the congregation. That's fine. You can really get it firsthand. But you know, children learn by their parents, what they're taught. And so much of what I'm going to say today that God would say to children, He's going to say it through the parents. He's going to say it to you, to your children. And so they can hear it directly, or they can hear it through us. And then secondly, we're all children. There's no one here that you're not a child. You started as a child. You have parents. You may not have known your parents, but you have parents. And so we're all different ages. Some are older, some are younger, but we're all children. So this message is for all of us today, and I hope that you'll open your heart and receive everything God wants to say to you. Now, in your bulletin, there is a fill-in sheet. You can take it out, follow along, and keep these thoughts with you as you go home. Here's your first fill-in in what God would say to children. Younger children are to obey their parents. Younger children are to obey their parents. Ephesians 6 verses 1 to 3 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." This is one of the Ten Commandments. This made the top ten. Honor your parents, obey your parents, and especially for children, they're to obey their children or their parents. As long as they're in the household, they're under the roof, you are to obey your parents. Now, the scripture says not only is this a command, but it's one with a promise. And the promise is that if you will do this, it will be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. I wonder if people have equated this. Things are not going well with them. Maybe you haven't obeyed and honored your parents. This is a promise. And maybe some of the blessings that I have in my life, it's not due to myself. It's not due to something of my ingenuity. Maybe some of those blessings has been the result that I have honored my father and mother. And as a result, things go well for you and you live long. It reminds me of the Star Trek statement of the Vulcans, you know, to live long and prosper. Live long and prosper. Do you know that that statement came from the Bible? And that Leonard Nimrod, who played Mr. Spock on the original series, he got that after he was in a Jewish synagogue. And he went to the director and he said, "I would like to, this statement is a blessing, to live long and prosper. And let's make it, you know, a Vulcan greeting," and so forth. And that's where it came from. I was reading that not too long ago. And it surprised me because this is exactly what this scripture says. Live long, prosper is a result of people obeying and honoring their parents. Many times we don't make the connection. But the Bible does. It says, listen, this is a commandment. It's the first commandment that has a promise. God says, okay, of all these, but here's a special blessing that comes with this commandment, if you will keep it. Here's another verse, Proverbs 1, verses 8 to 9. My son, hear the instruction of your father. Forsake not the law of your mother, for they shall be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Now I look out, and many of you are wearing necklaces, earrings. You've adorned yourself. Even the guys can have rings. We adorn. What are we adorning ourselves for? Because we want to look nice in the eyes of other people. We want to look attractive. You know, the most attractive thing you can do, if your attitude is one to honor and obey your parents, children are so admired, and we all know this, when you meet a family and the children are well behaved and they honor their father and their mother, and you go, wow, isn't that special? You don't see that a lot. Isn't that a beautiful ornament? You may not say it in those words, but that's what the Bible says. It's an ornament when children obey and honor their parents. Proverbs 19:26. He that mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son that causes shame and brings reproach. Now, on the flip side, someone that doesn't honor, doesn't obey, it says it's going to bring a dishonor and a shame. I talked to someone just this week. It was sad. I talked to the father, and his son had been imprisoned, and you know, the trial's coming up, and a lot of things around it. I could sense the grief in the father's heart, and he was embarrassed even to talk about it with me. And this is exactly what the Bible says. Someone doesn't honor, doesn't obey, it's a grief. It's a sorrow. Someone that ignores what their parents say. Do my own thing. Rebel. Rebel. That whole word rebel. Rebellion. It's a word of our generation. And we have to be careful because it goes contrary to this truth. When you rebel, you're not just exercising free will. You're not just having your expression and I'm just growing my creative side. No, you are rebelling. And it says if you ignore and chase away your mother's advice, that you're going to bring shame and reproach. Here's Proverbs 30 in verse 11. There is a generation that curses their father, does not bless their mother. There is a generation that is pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There's a generation that curses their father, doesn't bless their mother. Now, I assume that ever since this was written thousands of years ago, that every generation thought that I was speaking about the next generation that's coming. But notice it doesn't say generation after generation this will happen. It says there is a generation. And it's probably the last generation. And I don't know whether ours is the last generation or not, but I tell you, the one that's the closest to this is the one that we're living in. A generation where rebellion and self-expression and don't follow the rules and do your own thing is extolled. And the thought that you would defer to your parents, do something because they've asked you to do it, is something that should be abandoned as old-fashioned. There is a generation who is lofty in their own eyes. They are pure in their own eyes. They think they're right. You heard the expression, you know, teenagers, move out immediately. Get a job and have your own place. Do it quickly while you still know everything. We have this sense, and there's a generation that thinks we know better. I'm not going to follow my parents. There's a generation where this is, where rebellion, as I said, is lifted up. We see it in movies and in sitcoms and television programs and in novels. Everything is, don't follow the old generation. They're old fogies. They don't know. This is a new generation. As someone said, this is the This is the 2000s. You know, things have changed. It's not the same. Things change. And so it's extolled, belittled. But the scripture says we do it at our own peril. There's a command here that we are to keep the instructions of our parents and not throw them off. Don't be part of that generation. Be a part of a generation that goes back a long ways and says we honor our parents. You know, it's sad when I see society and I see how families act and how children respond to their parents. And you go into the educational system, into schools, and you see the dishonor that is spoken to teachers. And it's accepted. It's not, there's no standard that's lifted up to say, that's not right. You know, how do children know that they're to honor and to obey? They have to be taught from the earliest days. And fathers need to say to your children, you don't talk to your mother that way. You don't speak to me that way. And it doesn't start when they're a teenager. It starts from the youngest age. I remember we grew up on a farm. My grandparents lived on one side of the house. We lived on the other side of the house. And I remember one day saying something to my grandfather. He took me by the shoulders. He backed me up against the tree. We were outside. And he let me know that I didn't talk to him that way. And I never talked to my grandfather that way, ever again. My grandfather grew up in a generation where you called your father, sir. And he was not given to just someone flippantly talking to him or expressing something to him. I learned something. There's a generation that's gone by that we've lost that. I'm not saying we have to go back to sir and ma'am and things like that, but you know what? A little bit of it wouldn't hurt us a little bit at all. There are expressions of honor. There's expressions of obedience that we need to not discard and throw away quickly. The scripture says we do it, we're going to suffer as a consequence. But if you honor and obey your parents, things are going to go well with you and you're going to live long. So that's to younger children. And we've blended over into this second one a little bit, and that is older children are to honor their parents. Older children are to honor their parents. Younger children are to obey. There's an absolute, you just obey. Older children are to honor. Listen to what the scripture says in Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Now, when your mother is old, it means you're older. If your mother is old, it means you probably are married and you have a family of your own. Now, as a result, there's not an absolute obedience that comes into this, as you would be under your child, you know, as a child under your parents' household. The Bible says if the man is married, he leaves his father and mother, he clings to his wife, they become one flesh, they start a new household. And so as a result, there's not an absolute obedience, but there's always an honoring. An honoring. When you're old, when your parents are old, you don't say, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. You speak dishonoringly to them. You press your opinion against their opinion. Now, this is a fine line here, but it's one we need to learn because you never get away from the place of honoring your parents, no matter how old they become. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 28:24. Whoever robs his father and his mother and says, it's no transgression, the same is a companion to a destroyer. How do we rob our father and our mother? So we don't honor them. We rob them of the honor. We rob them of the respect. We rob them of the gratitude that we should be expressing towards them. There's not an attitude that says, oh, you know, I get that from my parents. I don't really have to repay them. I don't have to do anything. I expect them to help me. I expect them to do that. I ask them for money. And when they're not sure, I press them for more. The Bible says be careful on this. Now, on the flip side, obviously, parents are to help their children. We talked about this. And as parents, you help. But it's not that the children have an attitude of that they just take it for granted. An entitlement. Well, they should help me. The Bible says you're actually robbing your parents of this. In fact, there's a portion in Scripture, and someone asked me about it after the first service, where the Bible talks about that we are to repay our parents. And so there's a sense that what we've received from our parents, we shouldn't just say, well, course they should do that. You need to realize they gave a lot. They put time. They put effort. All the times when while they fed us and raised us. It's not that, hey, I'm just entitled to that. There's a sense that as they're older, you need to repay them. Now, this is not something where parents do this expecting a repayment. Obviously, we're talking to children here. When we talk to parents, you are to leave an inheritance to your children and your children's children. But we're talking about the attitude that we have towards our parents, that we don't have a sense of entitlement and rob them of the appreciation, gratitude, and respect that they should have because they are our parents. Proverbs 17:6. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. There's something in the home. There's something in the relationship when it's done right, when parents are loving their children, have their hearts turned towards their children, value their children, as we talked about last week, and then the children respect and honor their parents. There's a glory that comes about this. There's a beauty that comes. There's a crown that sits over a family. Now, no family is perfect. And everyone doesn't necessarily do things right all the time. It's almost like when we said we come to the communion. When you read verses like this and you look at your life, you're going to say, I didn't do it right. My parents didn't do it right. I'm not doing it right all the time. But it doesn't take away from the fact that we recognize and say, but we want to. We want to move in that direction. God, help me to honor and respect my parents more so than what I've ever. I'm not just going to think they're old. They don't know. Don't disregard what they've said. Respect what they say. You know, I remember years ago, I was going to do some investments. And I talked to my dad about it, and he said, Ken, I don't know whether I'd do that. He said, I don't think you should do that. And I thought to myself, well, they lived through the Depression. They are very cautious. They're conservative. You need to take a little bit of a risk, and I know better than they do. So I disregarded my father's advice, and I put some money into something, and it went bad. I lost a lot of money. And I thought to myself after, you know what? He knows a little bit more than I do. He's lived a little longer. I would have been far better off to have honored what he said. Not necessarily obey, but honored it. Now, when you look and see what the definitions are here. Well, let's just go to the third one, and then we'll wrap all this up. The third one, all children are to respect their elders. Now, we're all children, as we mentioned at the beginning. So not just our parents, but we're to respect elders, people that are older than we are, who's lived longer on the earth than we have. We're to honor our elders. Everyone is to honor their elders. This is very strong in Jewish culture. Hospitality, the honoring of parents, not being disrespectful, honoring them, that's very much Jewish society. Very much in Eastern cultures, there is still much a respect for those that are older, that's lived longer. The West, we seem to have lost it, and we do it to our peril. There's something about standing when an older person comes into the room. We've lost those kind of little expressions of dignity. We're so familiar. We feel we can call everybody by their first name. There's no longer a Mr. and a Mrs. to people that are older. And it doesn't mean you have to if they've given you permission to call them by their first name. But there should be an expression of respect. Now, the key is, and it's in your notes here, the key is not just to have the intent to honor, but to actually do it, to actually demonstrate it. There's someone who can say, well, yeah, I respect my elders, but you don't speak respectfully. You press your opinion over their opinion. You think you know more than they know. And then you say, do you honor and respect? Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. I honor them. But I've never shown it. Now, when you go to the definitions, and I think I have them in your notes there. Let's look up the definition of honor. And it says to have high regard and great respect. So if you're going to honor someone and actually show it, it means you have high regard. You value their opinion. You value what they're thinking. And you have great respect for it. So then I looked up the word respect. If you're going to have great respect, that means to show deference. To show deference to the person. Well, then I looked up the word deference. What does deference mean? It means yielding an opinion, judgment, and wishes. Yielding an opinion, judgment, and wishes. Even when you think you know better. Even when you think, you know what? They are living in a past generation. Their views are not my views. They're not with it. But you honor them is to respect them. To respect them is to show deference. And to show deference, you have to yield what you would normally do for them. Otherwise, you can say all you want. I honor my parents. I respect my parents. But if you disregard what they're saying, you give no value to their opinion. You've never deferred. I would normally do this, but you know what? I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do it their way. There is an expression of respect that we can fool ourselves into thinking we honor and we respect, but we don't. And I think God is speaking to us this morning, and he's saying, children, you need to honor your parents, but also honor your elders. My dad would say to me different times when I would be arguing with him about something, he'd say, Ken, I've lived a little longer than you have. And I've used that with my own children, I must admit. I've lived a little longer than you have. I know you think you're right, but you need to just back off a moment and just rethink something else. Listen, I'll tell you this. We're not as right as we think we are. I can say that about everything. I think I'm right about everything. Because I changed my view if I thought, you know, I'm not dumb. Whatever opinion I hold, I think it's the right one. But I got to be wise enough to say, just because I think it's right doesn't mean it's right. And I need to hear someone else. And I especially need to hear those people that have lived longer than I have lived. And I gain their wisdom by listening and deferring to what I was going to do to say, you know what, I'm not going to do that. Now, we think we're going to lose because of that. Well, listen to what it says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. See, the reason we don't yield our opinion is because we feel we're going to lose something. I know better. And so if I don't do what I know is better, I'm going to lose something. And the Bible says, you know what? If you humble yourself, you respect an elder, and you do it their way, I'm going to give you grace. And I tell you, God's grace is better than anything you'd gain by your own decision to do something. I'd rather have God's grace upon my life, his favor, his blessing on my life, him saying, things are going to go well with you, and you're going to prosper. I'd rather have that on my life than thinking, you know what, I don't think I agree with that, so I'm going to do it this way. And if I could just humble myself, he resists the proud, the person that knows, thinks he knows. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And over time, you'll begin to see, like I've already shared, that sometimes they know a little something more than you know. It reminds me of the person that was, you know, at 15, he didn't think his father knew anything. And at 25, he couldn't figure out how his dad knew so much and how he'd learned it in the last 10 years. Just humble yourself. It doesn't mean that you cannot guide, especially as parents get older and older, and they become more childlike. And as they say, sometimes the children become the parent. Now, that is true to a certain extent, but never act like the parent. Act like the child. You can guide, you can direct, you can give other ideas, you can give other opinions, but you know what? They're still your elder, and you will do better by honoring them, and even in guiding them, maybe to show them, you know, things are different, and you don't want to spend $50 because you think that's so much money, but you don't realize that $50 today is, you know, see, when they don't want to spend $50, in their day, it's like $500. You know, things change. I have to constantly, I'd look and say, oh man, that's a lot of money. And I think, well, that was a lot of money 15, 20 years ago. It's not a lot of money right now. And so, yes, we can help. We can guide our elders and our parents to see things differently. But never take an arrogant attitude and make them feel like they're belittled and that you're not respecting what they're saying. It's a very careful line as parents move into being, you know, elderly, really elderly and aged. But never lose the fact that you're to honor them. Okay, let's move to number four. What God would say to parents, or not to parents, to children, do not remove the ancient landmarks. Do not remove the ancient landmarks. And here's the verse that says the same thing, Proverbs 22:28. Do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. Don't remove it, the ancient landmark. Well, what is a landmark? Well, in that day, there were stones usually, and that stone was placed there as a marker. And if you owned property, there were landmarks that were placed that would set out the boundaries of the property. And, you know, times gone by, it wasn't always just a stake. It was actually a stone or something placed there. And our house, there's property stakes that's in the ground. Some of them are just below the ground, but there's markers that I put up to say, okay, you dig down there a couple of inches, you'll see the stake that says that's the edge of our property. It sets the boundaries. Now, the Bible says don't remove the ancient landmarks. Don't say to yourself, that's what they did, that was a boundary for them, but it is no longer a boundary for me. They said that's right and wrong, but I'm changing the definition of right and wrong. And today, that's what they said is wrong is now allowable. Listen, be very, very careful when you do that, because every generation moves. There are landmarks. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And it doesn't change. And we can say, oh, that was wrong for their generation, but it's not wrong today. We are enlightened. We are sophisticated. We know better. So we no longer accept that boundary. The Bible says, very careful. Don't move those ancient landmarks. Don't give yourself license to do things because you know better than your parents knew. You know, the longer I live, and what things I thought were extreme when I was younger, I look at them now and I think, man, there was a lot of wisdom in that. There was a lot of wisdom to stay away from that. They set a boundary. And maybe it wasn't right at the end. You know, when you look at a cliff and you go to sightseeing places and their outlooks, you know, they put the fence back a yard or two from the edge. There may be some ground on the other side you could stand and not fall, but it's very dangerous out there. so you're far better just to stay on this side of the fence. And you could argue and say, you know what, the boundary is too tight and there's some room, I can do that, I don't see anything wrong. And I've seen young people do that, get on the other side, and then they fall off the cliff. And they fall into some kind of sin. They would have been so better off just to follow the boundary that the parents have set. And so as adults, be careful that you don't quickly give yourself license to do things and belittle and despise the teachings of your parents. Because when you do so, you're on dangerous ground. Now, let me add quickly, there are some false landmarks. Because some of you may be sitting here and say, well, my parents don't approve of me being a Christian. Or my parents don't approve of me doing this. You know, do I just obey them and because they've said something? No, Jesus answered some of this in Mark chapter 7. And I'm going to give you three categories that Jesus mentioned here in Mark chapter 7. The first one, which is a false landmark, is outward rules without spiritual conviction. Outward rules without spiritual conviction. Here's how it says in verse 5. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, speaking of Jesus, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders? See, they were violating what the elders said. But eat bread with unwashed hands. He answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. The Jewish people, the Pharisees, had added so many little picky rules of how you wash things, you go through ceremonial washings. They had defined how far you could walk on a Sabbath day, and then if you walk more than that, you were violating the Sabbath day. There were so many rules and regulations. And when they began to condemn Jesus and his disciples, Jesus said to them, listen, you're hypocrites. You're following these rules, but your heart's far from it. You're following outward regulations, but your heart's not open to God. And so we don't have to follow rules that our parents may have laid down that are just rules, just man-made rules. They've made them up. But it's not of spiritual conviction. And so everything God wants us to do, he convicts us in our heart. He tells us things in our heart. Now, you need to follow those things. I tell you, every one of us will have things that others can do, but you can't do. There's not just an absolute law for everything. There are some things you can do I can't do because it's a danger to me. And the Holy Spirit will prompt me in my heart, convict me. You don't do that. You don't go there. And you don't necessarily have to condemn someone else that does. You leave them with the Lord, but you say, for me, I can't do that. And woe to the person who does not have those kind of personal convictions. Now, just to put those on other people, do a disservice because it becomes a rule to them. We always are to be pointed by the inward direction of God's Spirit in our life. Now, obviously, there's some things in the Word of God that just tells us that there's wrong. But then there's other things that are more, as Romans 14 says, they're sort of disputable matters. And everyone needs to be decided in their own heart what they do. So don't confuse that kind of thing with landmarks. Here's the second thing that Jesus said in this portion of Scripture. Don't just follow religious traditions. Verse 7. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. And he said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. So just because someone was raised in a certain denomination, and maybe your parents were raised in a certain church, and now you don't go to that church anymore, because it wasn't life-giving to you. And now you're attending somewhere else. Just be careful that you don't follow the tradition, religious traditions. We're not to just follow what our parents say if it's just a religious tradition. That there's no meaning in it. No, we need to not just go to a church because that's where my grandparents went and that's where I go and so that's where I go. No, you need to go to a life-giving church. And every other aspect. Religion, I would define as our attempts to please God. So there's lots of religions in the world of how you should act to please God. But true Christianity is not a religion, because God made us acceptable by what he did. He forgave us. He made a way, and we celebrated it this morning. He made a way through the cross. We can all come freely. You don't have to do certain things to please God in a religious manner. Follow your heart. May it be of life from inside. And then the third one is in the last three verses of this portion. And I would just say selfish manipulation. Here's what it says in verse 10. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother. See, he goes back to where we started. Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. That's how strong it was in the Old Testament. But you say, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is, a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your traditions which you have handed down, and many such things you do. Jesus called them hypocrites. He said, you're keeping all these outward things, and you got your rules and regulations, but you actually are making the word of God of no effect. Now what he's saying here, the Bible says, take care of your parents. But you say, well, that money that I was going to use to take care of my parents, I'm going to give that as an offering to the temple, as an offering to God. And he says, and so you say to them, that's okay, because you did that, you don't have to care for your parents. And Jesus said, your tradition is making no effect to God's law that says you all should honor. Yes, we should give to God, but you don't then say, I don't have to take care of my parents. It's not an either or, it's a both and. Yes, we give to God, but we also take our responsibility for our parents. And the Pharisees were letting people off because they were giving them money. They were saying, okay, now you don't have to do the other stuff. So Jesus calls them on this and says, that's the type of thing, he said, that's wrong. You're keeping your traditions, you're keeping your rules. But you're not even seeing what the intent of the word of God is. And he says, that's just one of the many things you do. You can see the Pharisees really love Jesus. And so when we talk about honoring your parents and elders, yes, there's an application there. But don't misconstrue it into traditions of men and just religious things. And then you're going to follow it because of that matter. No, it's of life. Now here's your last fill-in, what God would say to children. Maintain a childlike spirit. Maintain a childlike spirit. Listen to what Matthew 18 says. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I don't know whether they were thinking he was going to pull one of them out. Because they've been arguing all along, who's greatest? I don't know what the background of this question is, but the Bible says constantly the elders or the disciples are arguing who's the greatest. And Peter and James and John, and even got their mother to come and say, make my sons the greatest. So they're arguing. So maybe they said, well, go to Jesus. And they said, Jesus, show us who's the greatest. So he passes by all the disciples, and it says, and Jesus called a little child unto him, set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So, there's an advantage of being a child and keeping yourself as a child and following the admonition what God says to children. As you grow older, you become great in the kingdom of God the more you can keep a childlike spirit. Now, what is a childlike spirit? There's four things I'd say to you. They have simple faith. Simple faith. They just believe what you tell them. They don't question it. They're not so sophisticated to come back with all the questioning. They're just childlike. they just don't know that much. Now that's why we rebel against this. No, I need to bring my understanding and my wisdom and my judgment against this. I need to question everything. A child doesn't question everything. They believe you. Now I tell you, when you pick up God's word and you read it in the word, just accept it with simple faith. It says it, just believe it and act on it. Just simple faith. Put aside your cynicism and your sophistication and all your knowledge and just say, I'm just going to believe it. And the signs follow them that believe. You'll see evidences come. But just keep a simple heart towards God. Simple faith. Transparency. A child is transparent. They're upset, that bottom lip just hangs down. They're angry, they show their anger. They're happy, big smile on their face. They haven't learned to mask their feelings. They just who they are. And that's how God wants us to be. Just be who we are. Be honest with God. Be simple. When you're angry, tell the Lord you're angry. When you're happy, be happy with the Lord. I mean, he doesn't want that sophisticated masking and I'm not really what I'm appearing. I want to appear to be something I'm not. Just be content in your own skin. That's a child. And that's greatness in the kingdom of God. A child has no guile. They don't usually have any hidden motives. They just tell it the way it is. You can see through them. And that's how God wants us to be. Don't come bargaining with God. Just be who you are. Just say it the way it is. Express it. It's a great trait. And the more you can embrace it, the greater you'll be in the kingdom of God. And the last one is no cynicism. You know, where you know that won't work. Yeah, they say it, but I doubt it. But what about this and this and that? Yeah, they say that, but I don't know about this. Being cynical. A child is not cynical. They just are believing. They just act on it. Those are childlike qualities that if you will project them towards the Lord and say, you are my heavenly Father, when we pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, and you just come like a child, knowing that he loves you, knows that he cares for you, that he's your best interest, you're taking his word, you're just believing it. When you can do that, you're going to be great. Great in the kingdom of God. And you're going to then extend that to your parents and to others when you can have a childlike faith. Well, this message is not earth-shattering, but it is very basic, but it's very powerful this morning if you'll lay hold of it. Shall we stand together? Amen. As we pray, I wonder if we could just ask the Lord to restore to us a child's heart. A very simple heart. And out of that heart of a child in humility, that we'll move through this world honoring our own father and mother and our elders, letting God be our support and our strength, letting him add his grace to our life. Father, I have to confess, Lord, there's so many times cynicism in my life, and I raise up my knowledge against you, and I just pray, Lord, that that all be broken down, that I can just be a child before you. The older I get, the more I can just be a child. I pray for us as a congregation, Lord. Lord, this message has hit home to some, where there's tension in the home. There's tension between grown children and their parents. And Lord, I ask that that tension could break as we would express honor to towards our parents. And so, Lord, you heal relationships in this moment. Give us direction of what to do. Change our hearts. Maybe we'll be what you want us to be. Lord, we want to be great in the kingdom of God. And so, Lord, help us to have this kind of nature within us, a childlike heart before you. Minister to us, Lord. Do good things in our life. I bless this congregation in your name this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. All right, kids. I'm going to dismiss you. Be dismissed in the name of the Lord. And sign up for the things you need to. Have a coffee. Go in the name of the Lord. Amen.